Scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names, and gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego."
Just a quick notation. Turn that down just a notch here. Bring that down. It was announced this morning, and it is indeed, excuse me, a sad thing that not only the instructor at Brown Trail School lost his life due to the COVID pandemic, but his wife also, age 40, to this. But there is another side to this. The faithful child of God goes to glory. And for that, we can rejoice that they were faithful Christians to the best of our knowledge. And we should rejoice with them in that. Appreciate Brother Mike allowing me and honoring me with this opportunity to kick off this final month of 2020. You know, it's been a tough year, as he has made mention of numerous times up here. It's been a hard year in many different ways. And yet, in many different ways, it has been a powerful year, a year of opportunity. And I hope we have used this year in many ways to reach others. I know he has. I've used opportunities myself. And I know others here have also done the same, and we're thankful for that. We should always use these opportunities, we should always use these challenges to reach out to people, to reach out to those who are lost. We are ending this year with a theme, with the idea of finishing up bravely. Finishing up in courage. Finishing up in strength, because we are at the end of this year. December, winding down the year. And we want to look this morning at that idea of finishing bravely, courageously, and in strength. And we're going to focus in on four young men, and how they, in bravery, in courage, and in strength, use those characteristic traits to shape the lives of others as well as their own. But also, as I was preparing this, because Mike talked to me about doing this on last Monday morning, and I willingly jumped at the opportunity to do this. He said, "Would you do this?" And it didn't take me long to say, "Yes, I'll be happy to do this." I didn't know he was going to be out of town. But evidently, that's why he asked me to do this, so he didn't have to listen to me. No, only kidding. But in all honesty, it did take me long, and I already knew where my mind wanted to go with this, thinking about these four powerful young men and the courage that it took for them to stand the way that they did. They were steadfast in their faithfulness toward God. But as I was working on this lesson, I really got to thinking about it, and I decided to interject somebody else. We'll get to that person here in just a minute. As was read for us, we have the historical background, the textual background for what we're going to be talking about this morning. What we have here for us in Daniel chapter 1 was the first of three invasions of Judah and Jerusalem by Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Jehoiakim was the king of Judah, but because of his rebellion against God, and because of the innocent blood that was shed during his reign, God gave Jehoiakim and all of Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And with his first invasion, Nebuchadnezzar orders that the very best of the children of Israel be brought back to Babylon. And those young men were going to be the ones who would serve in his palace to learn the ways and the language of the Chaldeans. They were to be given a portion of the king's delicacies. In other words, the food, the fine meats and the wines of the king. And in a 3-year period of time, they would then stand before the king to see who would be the ones to serve in his court. Only the very best would serve there. And as was read for us so well, these young men were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to them were given the Chaldean names Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they, interestingly enough, Daniel would be the only one who would actually keep his name for the most part in Holy Writ. Now, sometimes we may wonder what was the purpose behind the name change. What was the purpose behind the change of the language and learning of the identity of, if you will, the Chaldeans? What was to change the identity of the Hebrews? They were a conquered people. And because of that, they wanted them to be completely made into Chaldeans as much as possible. Now, with this as our background, let's take a look and make some observations, if you will, about these four men and their bravery and their courage and their strength as we begin this last month of the year. And how we as Christians and how we as members of the body of Christ here at 9th and Main want to finish out this year the same way, bravely, courageously, and in strength. Because this has been a year to test us, and I think we have done very well for the most part. Let's finish this year out the way we ought to finish it out. First of all, let's note that Daniel and his friends would not defile themselves with the king's forbidden food. Let's read on in verses 8 through 14. It reads there, beginning in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank." That is, the wine that the king would drink. "Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should you see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? then you would endanger my head before the king. You see, the eunuch had great fear. I know that the king is giving you the best of the best. I know the king wants you to look your very best. Why would you endanger my life? I fear my king, because all the rest are going to look a whole lot better than you. Daniel knew better. Daniel understood something about serving his God. We know something about serving our God as well. That when we do what our God tells us to do, we are going to fare better than the people around about us. It always works that way. But let's continue reading. Verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. You see, Daniel had already set his mind that they were not going to do this. And notice how the others were already set in place with this. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants, plural. So these others were already involved in this as well. They were not going to partake either. It's as if Daniel was the one in charge right now, speaking for the other three. But let's make a quick observation. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, we note something. God had forbidden Adam and Eve to eat of one and only one tree. He had already set, as it were, some dietary laws. Of all the trees, you may freely eat. They had herbs to eat, they had the trees to eat. He says, but of the tree of the God, of the knowledge of the good and evil, you shall not eat. In fact, he says, you shall not touch. God set it in order. If you go over to Leviticus chapter 11, God gave the Israelite nation a new set of dietary laws. And he said, of all these things, you are free to eat, but there are some things that you are not allowed to eat. These were the dietary laws that Daniel and his cohorts were not allowed to eat. These were the dietary laws that told them these were the things you are allowed to eat. And the things that the king had set out for them to eat, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they were forbidden to eat. And they said, we cannot eat these things. Give us a chance to prove that our God will allow us to look better than all the rest that came to serve. Well, folks, let me suggest to you something. That today we do not have physical dietary laws. God has not come along and said, well, now, as Christians, you can't eat this physical food. You can't eat this physical food. And this is the physical food you are supposed to eat. But he has given us spiritual physical food. He has given us a spiritual dietary law. Today, we have spiritual food, which is Christ and His all-sufficient Word. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger. He's talking about spiritual food. He's talking about His Word that He was going to give us. And he who believes on me, he says, shall never thirst. Look at verse 41. I am the bread which came down from heaven. See, Jesus is talking about, I'm not talking literally here. In fact, if you continue to read on, there were those who were going, how can we eat his flesh? He's not saying eat my flesh literally. He's talking about the spiritual food that I have to offer you. He said, I'm that bread which came down from heaven. Verse 48, I am that bread. Very specific there. Verse 51, I am the living bread. You see, we have, as Christians, spiritual food. We have a dietary law. It just has nothing to do with physical food that goes into our stomach. It has to do with what goes into our spiritual heart, into our mind. And then we see that even more so as you look at John chapter 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word what I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Folks, the word of God is what we're talking about here. We have a spiritual food. And folks, only when we submit to the will of God will we have real spiritual bravery. Only when we submit to the will of God, to His Word, only when we go to this book right here and learn it and digest it, ingest it, digest it, may I say, in that proper order, are we going to have the courage to finish our race properly? With courage, with strength, with bravery. That's the only way it's going to work. And now I want to make a quick observation. I'm going to get away from our four men here for just a moment. Let's make a quick observation. Go over to the book of Joshua, and you don't have to do that literally right now, but go to your mind real quickly. To the book of Joshua. Who was Joshua? He was the man who was going to follow in the footsteps, as it were, of a great man by the name of Moses. Now, Moses made some big mistakes, and he did not get to walk into that promised land. But Joshua was going to fill his shoes, as it were. But I want you to notice something in Joshua chapter 1. Three times between verse 1 and verse 9... it says words like this. The Lord spoke to Joshua and said, be strong and of good courage. And only be strong and very courageous. Three times God admonishes, exhorts, encourages Joshua. Take courage, Joshua. Why, Joshua? Because God's on your side. Well, folks, God is on our side. When we stand with God, when we are a people of God, guess what's going to happen? God's going to be with us. Didn't God promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Yes, He did. It's a promise in Old Testament time that carries over into the book of Hebrews. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And it served Joshua well all the days of his life. Let me tell you why I'm bringing this up right here. Why this came into my mind. It served Joshua well all the days of his life because Joshua was being placed in a role of leadership by God. Well, folks, a people can do no better than their leadership. If the leadership does not present itself bravely, strong, courageously, the people will follow what they see. If the leadership is weak, if it's passive, if it won't do its job, well, folks, that's what's going to happen to the people. And that's why God exhorted Joshua the way He did. Be strong and of good courage. Only be strong and very courageous. The people were going to be facing great challenges. They were going to be facing obstacles. And God knew that Joshua needed to be a man of great fortitude. He had already shown it before, but you need that kind of fortitude in leadership. Don't ever accept leadership that won't be strong. Demand leadership be strong. Why? Because that will keep the people strong. The people will never be any better than what the leadership is. Never. It just works that way. But notice how it's going to serve Joshua all the days of his life. How do we know that happens? Go over to Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Behold, this is Joshua speaking. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. See, Joshua knew his time on earth was short. He knew that he was about to die. Listen to what he says. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that, listen, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Why was this so? Why? I suggest to you, because of Joshua's leadership. You see, God instilled within Joshua this mindset of great leadership. And God saw a man who led his people, and God stayed with them all the way. Because these people stayed with God all the way. Oh, they had their ups and downs. People always do. But they had a great leader in Joshua. Joshua led them in bravery, courage, and strength all the days of his life. Look at Joshua 24, 14 through 15. This one we know pretty well, and I'll just take little captions out of it. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua finished bravely. Joshua finished his days courageously. Joshua finished in strength. Folks, that's what we need to do with this year. I want to suggest to you, if we finish this year out as the body of Christ at 9th and Main, if we finish this year out bravely, if we finish it out courageously, if we finish it out in strength, that's going to be the platform for what 2021, Lord willing, it comes, will start out with. That's how it'll start. We need to finish it out that way. Folks, those who aren't brave until the end will go astray. It always works out that way. Those who don't stand to the end fail. Isaiah 30 verses 9 through 11 just jumps off the page at me every time. What a sad commentary that Isaiah had to say to these people. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, who say to the prophets, do not prophesy unto us right things, speak to us smooth things. Well, what a sad commentary. These people weren't brave. They weren't courageous. They weren't standing with God. They were succumbing to the world around them. And I'll tell you, one of the saddest commentaries you will read anywhere, the saddest in my personal estimation, the two saddest verses anywhere in the entire Bible, Old Testament, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, I don't care anywhere you find, this is my personal estimation, come to us in Jeremiah chapter 5, 30 and 31. Jeremiah had to say these sad, sad words. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power or their own means. And my people love to have it so. Those people weren't brave. They weren't courageous. They had cratered. They'd given in to the world around about them, to the false teachers around about them. They didn't want the truth of God anymore. They weren't brave. They were weak. But you know what? There was a sad question on the end of this. And it's a sad, sad question. that Jeremiah had to ask, but what will you do in the end thereof? Oh, yeah. An astonishing, horrible thing's been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own authority, their own means, their own power. And my people love to have it so, but then what are you going to do in the end? You see, they weren't looking at the end. Folks, we need to be looking at the end. And we need to finish the end in strength and in power. And bravely and courageously. That's what we need to be doing. Number two, God blesses and rewards steadfast allegiance. How do we know that? Let's look quickly at verses 15 through 20. It says there, and at the end of the days, their feature, that is these four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their features, countenance, appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And we're not going to read every bit of this. You see, at the end of this trial period, they look better. These young Hebrews look better than all of those who ate the king's finest foods, drank the king's finest wine. And notice what else was said in that text, and we don't read it here, but if you take the time to go home and read that, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and listen, and to Daniel, he gave understanding in all visions and dreams. Why? You see, their wisdom and understanding was 10 times, the text tells us, 10 times better than the magicians and the sorcerers that were there in Nebuchadnezzar's court. There's an old saying, you don't think that didn't get these magicians and astrologers and sorcerers goat? Boy, I tell you, they set out quickly to get back at them. Why were these things so? Because they bravely kept God's dietary laws. In other words, let me put it simply, they obeyed God rather than man. Long before you read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, when you have men like Peter and John telling the leaders of their day, we ought to obey God rather than men, they were already doing it. We'll obey God rather than man. We're going to do what God tells us to do. They would not drink from the wells of the heathen. They would not be the people who would eat the forbidden food. Let me ask you a simple question. What if we rebel against the true spiritual food found in God's Word? Are we going to be blessed? Are we going to be rewarded? We know the answer to that, don't we? Old Brother Tom Moore always said, shake or nod. That's a rhetorical question. Of course we're not going to be blessed. We're not going to be rewarded. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Folks, we need to be seeking Him. King David wrote this in Psalm 58:11. Men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely He is a God who judges in the earth. And folks, being righteous requires us to be brave. It requires us to be strong. And it requires us to be courageous to the end. Yes, not just the end of this year, but the end of our days. We are told to be faithful unto death in order to receive that crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We are partakers of Christ. Listen to this, Hebrews 3:14. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to what? The end. That word if is powerful, isn't it? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Number three and final point. This is an admonition for everybody here this morning. Me, you, everybody. Let's all stand with God bravely, courageously, and in strength through future trials. Folks, future trials are going to come. Rest assured, 2020 is not the end of trials and tests. They're going to come our way. Don't even kid yourself. Don't think this is it. Yeah, it's been kind of a ragged year. Sure it has. And at the end of it, if we're allowed to live another year, another 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever the Lord allows us, more trials and tests are going to come. But you know, one of the benefits of taking a stand with and for God today is that the future trials that come, we're going to be better able, better fortified to handle when they do come. Because they're going to come. Look at Daniel chapter 3 as an example of that. We'll read just a little bit out of that here in just a moment. We see the first results, if you will, of the stand for God that was taken by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they refused to take in, to eat the delicacies of the king. King Nebuchadnezzar here had built an image of gold on the plain of Dura. And at the sound of the music, all these instruments that are listed for us there, and we're not going to read through all of those, was commanded, what were they to do? Fall down and worship the image. A gold image. Fall down and worship a lifeless image. It was a big image. It was a tall image. And from what I've heard, the plain of Dura being flat as it was, you could have seen this image being made of gold, because the way the sun would gleam off of it, you could see it for miles and miles away. They were to fall down and worship this lifeless image, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 5. But guess what? These three servants of God, who had already been fortified once, with their appearance being better than all the others, God had already proven himself with them. They knew that they would be taken care of, refused to do that. They weren't going to worship this image. And then they're brought before the king. They still refused. Even under the threat of being cast in, cast immediately, it says in the text, into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 15. Now let's go to verse 16, if you will, in chapter 3. Verse 16 through 18, three short verses. And read, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Now remember, this is after Nebuchadnezzar had already told them, you're going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said in his arrogance. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 15. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't have to think about this. We're not going to waste our time deliberating this. We're not going to go in some dark room and talk about it. Well, should we or should we not? We have an answer for you now. And the answer is no. We will not bow down and worship this fake God you put up there, this image. I'm not going to do it. That was my way of saying it. Verse 17. If that is the case, in other words, if you're going to throw us into a burning fiery furnace, so be it. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now listen, I love this part here in verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I'm going to tell you something. That was bravery. That was courage, and that was strength. All based upon previous proof from God that he was going to be with them. They had faced up to trials and tests. They made it. They survived. And I love the way they said that. Okay, we don't have to worry about this. God's going to save us from the burning fiery furnace. He'll do that. But you know what? If God says that's okay, guys, it's time for you to come on home, that's okay with us too. That's okay. King, throw us in the burning fiery furnace. That's courage. I wonder sometimes if I would have had anywhere near that kind of courage. Would I have had that kind of bravery? Could I have stood with these three young men and said the same thing with them? But let's continue on. See, their previous trials and success of refusing the king's delicacy had prepared them for this test right here. And with God behind them, they were all the more fortified to stand up to the fiery furnace and to the threat of King Nebuchadnezzar, that I have no doubt in my mind probably thought himself to be right up with the gods. Now, move over to chapter 6 of Daniel. We know where I'm leading to there, don't we? New king, King Darius, delegates power and charge of 120 satraps, however you pronounce that, and over three governors. There were 120 of these satraps, and then you had three governors. Guess what? One of those governors was Daniel. Yes, the same Daniel that had rejected the king's delicacies. The same one who was able to interpret the king's dreams, King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And listen to verse 3 of Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. See what it does when you serve God bravely, courageously, in strength? Once again, we see leadership in Daniel, don't we? See leadership. The other governors and the satraps were envious, and they sought a charge against Daniel. But you know what? They knew they couldn't find any real fault in him. He hadn't done anything wrong. And their answer was simple. We will find it against him concerning the law of his God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5. They petitioned King Darius to do what? Sign a decree that anyone who worships any god but the king would be cast into what? A den of lions, chapter 6, verse 7. And we know what happened, don't we? Daniel worships God. And listen, he doesn't do this in secret. He didn't go into a dark closet and hide and do it. You know what he does? He's in his room, but he opens up his window where people can see him. And he doesn't do it three times. He doesn't pray once, but he does it three times. Not once, but twice, but three times he prays. And he's brought before a grieving king, because you see, King Darius says, I knew I shouldn't have made this decree. That was a dumb thing to do. But guess what? He also understood something, didn't he? His decree was final, and he had to keep it. So he puts Daniel in the lion's den, and he takes that stone, and he seals it up with his signet rings, verses 14 through 17, him and his lords, and he seals it. And after a night of fasting, the king rises early and quickly goes and checks on Daniel's well-being. Because you see, he cared about Daniel. He didn't want to do what he did. But here's the marvelous thing. Daniel speaks to the king, oh my God, sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. You see, I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. Chapter 6 and verse 22. He went to the lion's den because he served God courageously in strength and bravely. Again, Daniel's past faithfulness bolstered him and his faith to take a stand with God. Folks, every single victory we have, every test that we pass, gives us strength to pass future tests that we're going to face, trials and tests that we're going to face. Turn over very quickly in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Very simple, but powerful passage where Paul writes the church, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. King James uses terms like be courageous and quit ye like men. Be strong, people. We're facing the last month of 2020 that is going to vault us into 2021, Lord willing. And we need to face this month, the end of this year, bravely, courageously, and in strength. And we need to do the same thing, Lord willing, 2021 gets here. Let's take on this month. And I know that Mike will be bringing some good lessons on this very concept as this year winds down. If there's anyone here this morning who's never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, we ask you the simple question, why not? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to repent of your sins? That means to take a life of sin and turn away from it and go toward God in His life of righteousness. Turn away from your sins. Put them away. Are you ready to confess the name of Christ before men? You've heard the Word of God preached. Do you believe? You're ready to repent? You're ready to confess? Then you are ready to be baptized and have your sins washed away. Calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. So we ask a simple question, why not today? Why not make that decision today? Maybe it is that you're a child of God. And maybe you haven't been what God would want you to be. You've been stumbling. And folks, this world we live in can throw so many stumbling blocks in front of us. We don't stand here in judgment of you. We stand here ready to assist you and encourage you. You need somebody to study with. We're here for that as well. But whatever your need may be, just need the prayers of the church to be a stronger, more vibrant child of God. We stand here to help you at this time as well. But whatever your need may be, if we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song?